Johnson here, host of the official Liberty A-League podcast on the Keep Up Audio Network, bringing you a special taste today of the great work being done on Dubzone. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Dubzone, it is the A-League's new match day show that airs every Saturday from 2:45pm on 10play and our socials, giving Liberty A-League fans unprecedented access to engage directly with the stars of the program through social media discussion while broadcasting all of the different games that are played simultaneously. That's right, multiple games at the same time and discussion that you can be a part of. Throughout the broadcast each week, a variety of guests join our weekly expert panel to discuss all of the latest talking points and match day discussions in the Liberty A-League and world football. Today, you're going to hear from Western Sydney Wanderers Director of Football, Tom Somani, Melbourne Victory defender, Claudia Bunge, Wellington Phoenix defender, Kate Taylor, and the Brisbane Roar forward who bagged a brace, Shay Connors.
While we see a little drinks break here at NetStrata Jubilee Stadium, let's check in with one of our interviews for this afternoon, and that's with Tom Somani, an absolute legend of the coaching game. He's a former Matildas coach, former coach of the US Women's National Team. He's now involved with the Canada setup and indeed the Western Sydney Wanderers here in the Liberty A-League as well. Tommy, it is always good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Dubzone.
Oh, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, Ish is just bringing all of her friends along this afternoon, so we're looking forward to hearing from you some stories about Alicia Ferguson and her playing days, remembering, of course, the time slot that we're on this afternoon. But, Tommy, can I ask you to begin with about the current state of affairs in international women's football? Because it feels like for every week or so of the last few months, we've heard about a different national side and issues within, whether it's their federation, whether it's with the coach, and it's players really speaking out about what they're experiencing within those national setups. You've experienced that from the other side of things as a head coach yourself. Does it feel like we're seeing more players speaking out about their experiences today, or is it just a case that we can hear more? They've got more avenues to actually express themselves now.
I think it's probably a combination, but I think it's, you know, with the profile of the game being raised from what it used to be, so players' voices are now, you know, making headlines. I think it's players reaching the stage where they're beginning to stand up for the rights and be outspoken, which has really not been the case in the women's game, other than perhaps the US women's national team. So I think it's a combination of that, and I think, you know, within it depends, different things with different circumstances. I think it's a situation now where players are refusing to put up with a certain type of coach who might be verbally intimidating or using power to be inappropriate. And it's also at the other end of the scale, we're in a world now of, you know, first world players where they'll perhaps tend to get upset at things that wouldn't have come on the radar a few years ago. And so it's a combination of all of those things.
Do you think we're seeing players have different expectations of what that coaching, what that training environment looks like? And are we seeing coaches having to evolve as a result?
100%. And actually, as Ish would probably tell you, I usually just bluff my way on things, but I did a little bit of background work on this. And I think it's a combination. As I say, I think at the two extreme ends, you've got the kind of coach that we need to get out of the game, the abusive coach. And then at the other end, you've got players who will get upset, you know, if they, you know, get the merest of criticisms. I think that the key thing is somewhere in between where, you know, the important thing, and I think women's football is different to men's football. So I think there's a situation now where as coaches, we can no longer be sort of non-listening or non-hearing or non-understanding. So I think there has to be a difference in the skills of communicating and awareness and insight. And I think that should come about through coach education, because the reality is now you have to be much more aware of what you say to people, how you communicate with people, and what the expectations of people are now around the different jobs. And coaches have to evolve with that as well.
Tommy, Ish here. I'd just like to say thanks for interrupting your afternoon nap to come on and have a chat to us. I know it's a big ask, so I appreciate that.
Huge ask, by the way. Huge ask.
I can see you need toothpicks in your eyes. Just we were chatting about it during the week, and you're now involved in the Canada setup with Bev Priestman. Just explain, what was the camp like at the She Believes Cup when all that stuff was ongoing? Because it's difficult for the players. Like players don't naturally just want to cause a kerfuffle, do they?
Not really, no. And the Canadian players are not confrontational at all. And it was a slightly different issue with the Canadian players. So it wasn't around the coaching, it wasn't around the management or anything within the team structure. And it wasn't about looking for more money. It was actually about the money for the whole program being cut, leading into the World Cup and an Olympic year, which would impact not just the senior team, but also the youth teams, which have to qualify for World Cups later this year as well. So it was about their actual disagreement was actually about the programme being cut and them being able to deliver, you know, that they've got pressure to deliver a world-class team, but then the programme's getting cut to a working-class programme. Yeah. So that's where they had the dispute. And like I say, Canadians are a really great group of players who got on really well together and very non-confrontational. So having to deal with this dispute within the bounds of the camp was very, very distracting for them, and certainly it impacted the whole camp and impacted our performances.
It's really good insight to hear all of this from you, but let's take it local. Obviously, you're working with Western Sydney Wanderers. What's the plan over the next 12 months, let's say, with that team and the work that you're doing as director of football to make changes within that club? What does that look like for you at the moment?
Well, I think the club have made a big effort in the women's space to do better than what they had done before. You know, if you'd spoken before to the people involved in the women's part of the club, they felt a little bit isolated. So the club has made a real effort now to raise the standard and the profile of its women's team. So there's a couple of things we want to do. One is we want to win games in the W League. That's a priority. Sign players. Also make players aware of the actual setup and structure that we've got at West Sydney, which is absolutely first class. So that's on one hand. The second hand is we want to build up an academy. We actually want a replica of the men's academy. So we'll have a men's academy and a women's and girls academy, and we'll start to produce players from the west of Sydney. I mean, it's such a fertile area for football, and it's such a ethnically diverse area that it's a really fantastic place to actually do this. And the club, as I say, want to build up both of the programmes, and if you look at the setup and the structure that we've got out there, it's really world class. So those are some of the things that we're trying to do at the club. And you know, putting Cat Smith in place was, as the head coach, was one of the building blocks, and she's done a terrific job this year to sort of turn the team around and make us more competitive.
Kat joined us on Dub Zone a couple of weeks ago and she was super impressive. Tommy, I was very happy to hear you say before that you'd done a little bit of prep in the lead up to this interview, because do you know what? We did some background on you as well. And we spoke to Sarah Gregorius, one of the former New Zealand internationals, now a big hitter with FIFA Pro. Oh. And this is a little insight into one of the anecdotes she had for us from your time as head coach of New Zealand.
This has got trouble written all over it.
Joy in it that he is sipping from as he walks into the dressing room. So we came in at halftime and we were a few goals up, which was good, but it was pretty warm. And so usually what happens is you go in as players and you have a few moments to yourselves, and then the coaching staff walk in. And so in walks Tom, and he has got a coconut in his hand with a straw in it that he is sipping from as he walks into the dressing room. So we're all just a bit like, okay. And he's just carrying on with his halftime talk as if this is a totally normal occurrence. And so in one hand he's got a coconut with a straw, a brightly coloured straw coming out of it. And then in the other hand he's like pointing at the tactics board, like trying to tell us what we need to work on, the different subs that are going to be made. And he does his speech, takes a big slurp from his coconut and wanders back out of the dressing room.
Do you actually believe I'd do something like that?
I do.
Do you know what? I 100% do. I've seen you there in France, except in this occasion, Tommy, you had a cup of tea there on the sideline as opposed to a coconut. Is that just you need a prop?
Yeah, you probably need something in your hand. I've got a bit of a Scottish-Italian background, so the hands get waved about a lot. So it's probably a good thing for having something there to stabilise them. But it's interesting, Sarah Gregorius, because you can't get hold of her now. She's such a big timer.
But it's about you, Tommy, she can.
Tommy, heading into this World Cup, you've experienced a number of them before. This one here in Australia and the Matildas and Canada, of course, in the same group. How are you feeling in the lead up to this tournament, and what can Aussie football fans expect from the World Cup experience?
Well, I think they'll see stuff that they haven't seen before. You know, we've had the Asian Cup here with the men, but obviously, and we've had our Youth World Cup way back in the early 90s, which was fantastic back in those days. But I think, you know, the colour, the fans, the diversity of the teams, all of that stuff that's going to come into town is just going to be fantastic. And then there's the football side. And I think, you know, I thought at the Olympics in 2021 was the first women's tournament that I've been to where there was genuinely multiple possible winners. And I think when you come into this World Cup, there's probably six teams at least have a chance of winning it. So you've got a really high-level competitive competition, lots of colour, lots of different cultures, and I just think a great spectacle.
Topping the group's going to be pretty important, isn't it, for both Canada and Australia, with England looming large in the round of 16?
Well, it appears that way, you know, and it's one of those things you can never quite... You plan for all these things and then you never know what happens. I think, you know... And I'm very happily not the head coach, let me say. But, you know, if I was the head coach, the first priority is to get through the group. I think, I think both host countries, New Zealand and Australia, have actually drawn very tough groups. Normally, the host country gets a little bit of leeway and gets a weaker team in the group. But both countries have actually got very tough groups, and there's no easy games in our group. So, from my perspective, all I would be focusing on from Canada is to make sure we qualify.
Tom Samani, it is always brilliant to hear your insights. Thank you so much for joining us on Dubzone.
Thank you, Niamh. It's a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
We've got a really big game coming up on Monday in Melbourne. It is the Melbourne Derby, Melbourne Victory up against Melbourne City, a doubleheader at Amy Park. And Claudia Bunge from Melbourne Victory has been good enough to join us on Dubzone today. Claudia, always good to see you. And this is always a big game. But as we count down to finals, does it feel like that race for the top four adds even more spice to this derby?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like you said, the race for the top four is pretty tight and every game matters. And with it also being a derby, yeah, the girls are really up for it.
Is your side looking at it, and have you spoken about it, as a pretty simple equation? Keep winning and you play finals football.
Yeah, exactly. We've been talking about that, and Jeff's been saying, you know, as long as we get the 3 points each game, we're kind of in charge of our own fate. So, yeah, nothing changes for us. We're looking to, yeah, secure those 3 points.
Claudia, I just wanted to ask a question about you before we get back to talking about the victory. There was a big, big rumour before the season started that you were heading to the UK to play for either a WSL or a second-tier club, and yet Victory, I think they've won the lottery. They seem to be keeping you for the entire season. What does your future actually hold at club level?
Yeah, I was definitely having a look out there. But at the end of the day, I had a really good chat with Jeff, and I was pretty happy to stay another season. And he's a fantastic coach, obviously, playing Premier League himself as a centre back. His knowledge as a defender is really useful to me. And just the setup at the club and the girls I've been playing with over the last couple of years was really awesome for me, and another reason for me to stay. So, I'm really happy I made that decision. And looking next season, I'm not too sure what it holds, but yeah, my focus is with Victory this season.
Well, I wanted to ask about Jeff, because I have no doubt he was a factor. I mean, we've had a New Zealand team come in Wellington, and it seems as though they haven't got close. They could have offered you the world, but how hard is it to not play for a coach like Jeff Hopkins once you've experienced what it's like to be part of his team? But not just that, to win with him as a coach as well.
You're exactly right, Tao. He is a fantastic coach. Defensively, he knows his stuff. But I think what he's really good at is bringing in good people and managing them really well. Since he brought me in and like a core group of players a couple of years ago, I think we've established a really good culture and a really good training environment. So it's really hard to say no when he tells you to come back. So he's been fantastic for us as a team and for me individually as well.
Not going to lie, it's been a learning experience for a lot of the Australian media about the New Zealand-based players, and Wellington has certainly helped over the last two seasons. But you've got a far better knowledge. You've played in the local league over there, or the national league, I should say, over there. Plus, you're part of the New Zealand national setup, and you would see how many of these players are coming through the youth national teams. Have you tracked the Phoenix's progress, and what benefits do you think their addition has made to the national team? Because we saw a lot of those players go to Costa Rica and play for the under-20s, but many of them are now making their senior national team debut as well.
Yeah, it's really awesome, and I think to have a professional women's team in New Zealand is a huge milestone. Kind of the path was after you do 17s and 20s, you kind of have to make a big leap to play professional football, either care or majority of girls went to Europe. So there was like a bit of a gap, but I think what we're seeing now is a really clear pathway for girls that don't want to especially go through the US college system. They can start playing professionally for the Phoenix or in the A-League as well in general. So I think, yeah, we're starting to see like a new age of players come through, and I think it'll only benefit the Ferns moving forward.
Claudia, I was lucky to be at both of the friendlies that you guys played against Argentina a couple of weeks ago. Not the desired result, but by all means, you know, clearly showing signs of improvement. Like you said, you've got great talent coming through and lots of depth in that squad now. What's the mentality of the team heading into this Women's World Cup? And obviously you're excited. We're excited. It's in Australia and New Zealand. We get to co-host it together. But just talk us through that mentality of the team and how everyone's feeling with it only a few months away.
Yeah, we're all very excited. Like you alluded to, the last tour wasn't great, losing all three games. But yeah, we're in a bit of a rebuilding phase, and I think with all the new players coming in and Yitka's definitely trying different combinations. I think, I don't know how many players she's used over the last 12 months, but I think we're starting to see and she's starting to fine-tune things. So it's exciting that I reckon we have a bigger pool of players to use and more players playing professionally overseas is only going to make our Fern squad better. And it's pretty competitive at the moment. I couldn't tell you what our starting 11 would look like. But yeah, everyone's really excited. And yeah, hopefully we can make some history because the Ferns have never won a World Cup game before. So that's our main priority.
And additional history for Victory potentially as well, as you try to get into the top four and go for that three-peat championship. So I just wanted to ask about one of your teammates that's new this season, Jessica Nash, because you were teammates and also good friends with Polly Doran last season, who's since left. Now Jessica Nash comes in. Have you tracked her progress? Because she's still such a young player, got that Matildas cap when she was still only 17 and maybe went in the deep end. Have you seen her progress moving to a new city? Have you taken her under your wing, and how have you actually seen her development as she climbs back towards potential Matildas selection at some point in the future?
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Nashy, I forget, sometimes is only just 17, 18. It seems to me like she's more around my age. She's great to play next to. She's definitely, I think, as the season's gone on, her performances have been stronger. And I think because she had spent quite a bit of time playing centre back, switching to full back might have taken her a little while to adjust to. But we work really well together, and she's a great communicator on the field. And I think with the young Matildas, she was wearing the armband. So she definitely has really good qualities on and off the pitch and could definitely be a leader for the future.
One player who won't be there for the derby on Monday, Claudia, is Elise Kellon-Knight. Had that Achilles injury in training. We know she had her op this week. What kind of an update can you give us on where KK's at, how it happened in training, and indeed how she's pulled up from that surgery?
Yeah, it was an awful thing for KK to go through. I live with her, so I'm spending quite a bit of time with her. She's in pretty good spirits, despite the circumstances, obviously, with World Cup looming. There's a lot of uncertainty around that, but she's been a trooper, as she is in every aspect of her life. And her mum's actually down, so she's just had her surgery, and mum's here for a bit, which is really nice. And yeah, there's a big group of us that all live together, so I think that's been really good for her. And yeah, she's still been in and around the team heaps. So yeah, she's definitely making the most of this, yeah, unfortunate circumstance. I think she's enrolled to like 10 different uni courses, so she's keeping busy for sure.
Please let her know that we're thinking of her. And Claudia, good luck in the Melbourne Derby on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll head around the grounds. We'll hear from the players themselves in just a moment's time here on Dove Zone. I can't wait to hear from the Knicks players, actually, what that means to them in just their second season in the competition to beat the might of the Sky Blues and Sydney FC here in Kogarah in Sydney as well. In fact, why don't we do that right now? Kate Taylor from Wellington has been good enough to join us. Kate, what a game from yourself, from your side. Can you talk us through what that means to the Knicks to beat Sydney FC on their home turf?
Hey, yeah, I think it's absolutely awesome. Last time we played them, we were so close, and I think that we really wanted to win out of that one, and I think we should have got it, but I think today it was special, and I look around and there's so many tired bodies, and I think it just means so much to us. And, you know, to beat them here at their home ground, it's not easy, and they're a great team. And so I think everyone's super excited and can't wait for the rest of the season.
Kate, up against an attack with Courtney Vine and Princess Sabini, Mackenzie Hawksby and all of those attackers, how hard a job is it to put out all of those spot fires and keep a clean sheet the way you did today?
Yeah, it's super hard. You've obviously seen how good Courtney Vine's been at the moment, and the Sydney team at this stage is so good in their front line. And so I think the communication that we had along the back four today was immense, and I think that's what really helped us.
How much is it a necessity that your good performances get rewarded with results and points on the board? Because at times this season, it did feel as though you'd had honourable losses or unlucky results in terms of not being able to get a draw or a win. Today, you actually get something to show for it. How much of a difference does that make to the belief within the group?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think these past few games, we've been playing really good, and it's just been those goals and trying to stay ahead that's been keeping us from not winning. And I think today to see that 90-minute performance really showed it, and we came away with the win as well. It's addicting, and I can't wait for the rest of it. But yeah, I think we still have a long way to go, and I think there's still a lot of work to be done, and we will do that. We will continue to push hard every single week.
We saw some footage of the team right at the end there. You guys looked absolutely stoked with the result, as you should be. I mean, what a win against Sydney FC. What were you guys saying? What is the vibe like with a win against the team at the top of the table? And what kind of motivation does that give you heading into what's left this season?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we really wanted to win this game, and we didn't come here to not win. We came here to perform. We came here to beat this awesome Sydney team. And so I think it just, we didn't need that today. We were already pushing, but I think that's the icing on the cake. And, you know, 3 points and a win, and to score a goal, it always motivates you no matter what. And so this team definitely doesn't need motivation, but, you know, I think we have that little bit extra now, and yeah, look out.
Kate, you've overcome your own injuries. You're back in the mix for the World Cup team for New Zealand. How are you feeling personally? Where's your football at? And what do days like today do when it's an underdog winning against the odds, maybe extrapolating that out to the New Zealand team that might need to adopt the same mentality to get some results at the World Cup too?
Yeah, obviously the World Cup's really close, and personally I've got a long way to go. I think, you know, every day I want to get better, and even today I know that there's points in my game. There needs some work, and I'm happy to do that. You know, I want to be on that pitch every single day getting better, and I same with the Ferns and the same with the Phoenix team.
Kate, before we let you go, can I just ask you about that goal? Talk us through it, because gee whiz, you hit that volley sweetly.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey Foster put on a plate, you know, you just have to get in the right spots, and it was a second phase ball, and we're constantly looking for those balls, and, you know, normally I'm trying to get there with my head, but I saw the ball dropping, and I just had to take a swing, and that's what I did today.
And Kate, we spoke to Claudia Bunge during the show. She joined us, and I asked her the same question about what the Wellington Phoenix program has done for the New Zealand national team, not just the senior team, but the junior national teams as well. This is the second season of it now. Just how valuable has it been, and how much do days like today help the progression of New Zealand football?
Yeah, I think this team's been immense for the Ferns, and definitely for the under-20s. You know, when we went to that World Cup last year, it made us a lot stronger. four of us that had played in the professional game helped the rest of them that didn't quite know what a World Cup or international stage would look like. But yeah, I think this Phoenix team has been so good, and I know that it's only the start. You know, we're pushing now and it's the season, and that's not a position we wanted to be in. We wanted to be pushing right from the start, and you know, in training we have been, but we haven't quite been getting the performances. And so I think to be able to do that, today it makes it so much easier, and now we just have to go out there again and keep doing that for the season.
Kate, it is a win to celebrate, to enjoy. Thank you so much for joining us on Dub Zone. We're going to let you go and celebrate with your teammates.
Thank you very much.
To make it three upsets from three games here on Dub Zone this afternoon, Brisbane Roar got the win over Western United 2-0, and it was a brace to Shay Connors, who's been good enough to join us on Dub Zone this Arvo. Shay, let's talk about your goals to begin with, because watching on, it feels like you have absolutely hit peak form at the right time.
Yeah, it's been incredible. I got two great balls, so it was just about putting them away in a huge, huge game, so it was great for us.
Talk me through that combination then, because that opening goal with Katrina Gorrie, with Minnie putting the ball through, it feels like that combination between the two of you is hitting all the right areas.
Yeah, it was a great ball. We just made eye contact and she was pretty far back away from me. And then I just kind of like looked at her and then I just started running. And then I pretty much knew I only had probably one touch to hit it one time. So, oh wow, I haven't seen it yet.
Shay, that's 5-5 for you now. What changed? Because for the start of the season, you couldn't buy a goal. Now you can't stop scoring. Was there a turning point? Was it something that happened in a game? Was it something that happened in training? Where did the turning point come?
I think at the beginning of the season, I was maybe just too focused on defending and not getting up the field enough. And then when I was, I think when you don't get a few goals at a forward, I feel like then it starts everything starts being like really difficult and you put too much pressure on like even the simple tap-ins. And I think, I don't know, I kind of just started backing myself and just trying to play free and getting into those attacking positions that are closer to goal, because when I'm near the 18, like I know I can finish it.
As far as beating Western today, it's your first win of the season against a team in the top four, and that's coming off the back of the draw against Melbourne Victory as well, where you also scored. Have Roar left their run a little bit too late, or are you still thinking that you can gate crash the top four?
I mean, we're looking to gate crash 100%. I think, honestly, I think a few of the draws that we had have come to bite us, probably. But, I mean, we just beat the top team. And like you said, like, obviously, draw to victory, where I think we were unlucky not to win that game. I think we played really well. So I feel like if you can beat the top of the table, like, why can't you beat the next three games that we have? You know, there's no excuses. Because Western pretty much have beaten everyone. So if we can beat them, we might as well try to beat everyone else.
Shay, we can see how happy everyone was when you scored, especially that second goal. You had stacks on and everybody was jumping all over you. Tell us what it feels like to score in a fixture like that. And I guess just the mentality of the squad heading into what's left of the season. You said that you're going to gate crash the top four. So what's the vibe within the team? What are you guys saying?
Yeah, I think the second goal was huge because honestly, they were putting us under the pump a bit. And I feel like that was just like the secured goal. And the team, though, I had a former teammate pass away this week. I just found out. So everyone was just getting around me. So I think that made it a bit special as well. But I think everyone just knows that like we believe in ourselves. And I feel like that second goal just really solidified that we're here and that we are good too. And, you know, we have a place in the finals if we can win the next few games.
How tough has that been this week for you personally, Shay, and how important has that team around you at Brisbane Roar been?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I actually found out like 20 minutes before training on Thursday, so it was awful, honestly. But the team is like family, and so it's been, I'm so lucky to have like the people I have around me, and it's a great, great group of girls, and I'm really thankful for all of them.
Well, we're thinking of you. Thank you so much for joining us on Dub Zone today.
Thank you.
And congratulations on both the brace and the victory.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoy what you heard today, remember to tune in to Dub Zone every Saturday from 2:45 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time on 10Play and our socials. And to stay up to date with everything related to the Liberty A-League and all football, check out keepup.com.au or download the app and tune in to the official Liberty A-League podcast every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Campbell Johnson. Thanks for listening. And as always, enjoy the football. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice, look nice. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future.
picture looking nice, we don't need to tell them twice.
Here comes the future.
Yeah, we look nice, future looking real nice, we don't need to tell them twice.
Here comes the future.